the world-renowned Amadinda Percussion Group joins the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra for their second classical concert. Percussionist Zoltan Ratz and music director and conductor Gregory Voida joined me in the WLRH studios to talk about the percussion ensemble and some of the surprises you'll see at Friday's concert.
Our relationship goes back a long time, actually. How many years?
20
years maybe, yeah. So we do know each other and we worked together before. And it's a great pleasure to me to be able to be part of the 30th anniversary celebration season of the Amadinda. I think it's one of a kind that you have an ensemble with the same players who started playing in it 30 years ago, and they're still around and they're still doing this fantastic business of ours.
It's the 30th anniversary of the Amadinda Percussion Group and the 60th anniversary of the Huntsville Symphony, so we're celebrating these nice round numbers. So why did you decide to bring them to town? Why now?
Well, Amadinda is going to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Which is next
week, yeah.
Is the what is it officially, the name of the...
This is the annual convention organized by Percussive Arts Society. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is the biggest percussion event in the world.
It's going to be noisy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And on the way there, they are stopping by here. So that's mm-hmm. that's great because logistically, it's probably the biggest nightmare you can ever face is to have a percussion concert.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys just went to Nashville and picked up all these instruments.
Yes. We received a huge support from Pearl and Adams Musical Instruments. So they provided us the biggest instruments, marimbas, vibes. But of course, we have some small stuff.
I was curious about that. I had a great time doing the research for this interview because I got to watch those fun YouTube videos, but I was noting all the stuff. There's a lot of stuff on the stage. So some of it's here and some of it, I guess, you transported?
Oh, yes, yes. The air cargo is around 2,000 pounds.
2,000 pounds of percussion instruments arrived to the country.
Yeah.
And so, but they all got
plus
here.
The local big instruments.
Oh, and of course the local, the local instruments from here, which you don't really want to travel with big instruments like bass marimbas because they're just big to transport, and you can just play if Adams or Pearl gives you a good one. Then it's actually a really good deal to travel with those around here in the United States.
So you get them here, they make it safely to the country, and then you get them to the Von Braun Center, and then what? How do you set up the stage with all this stuff?
It takes how many hours did it take for you to set up?
The first day was almost to fix everything.
So it's a day actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to unpack everything. Mm-hmm.
Many hours, yeah, to build up and
then
set up the instruments.
It's a constant building actually, because by the time we get the orchestra on stage, we figure out the setup, and then we need to change it because they can't see or can't mm-hmm. hear. So it's actually fascinating. I like doing this because it's not like you have a violin soloist and you put...
Right, they just stand there.
Yeah, just stand there and play. This is always much more when you work with a percussion ensemble like this. It's always way more complicated than a normal concert.
But I imagine, I would think for the audience it would be more fun. It'll be as much fun to watch as it is to listen to.
Oh, yes, it is. And it's fun for me to watch, actually.
That's right. You kind of get a break because yes. You're just... what are you going to do the first part of the concert? You're not actually...
You want to hear the surprise?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Zoltan and I are going to play the national anthem on the piano beforehand because, we don't have the orchestra on stage for the first half, and we always do the national anthem at the top of the show. So we discussed this and we decided, why don't we just do a forehand version of it and have the audience sing with us. So that's what I do in the first half. And the second half, of course, I'm conducting the Bach and the Gyöngyösi Sinfonia Concertante.
Well, Zoltan Ratz, you have so much to choose from. There's such a wide variety of music in the first part of the program. How do you even decide where to begin and how to put together a program?
Yeah, the first idea was to play something which is our very own repertoire, own music composed by one member of the group, Aurel Holo.
That's the piece we just heard.
Yeah, Jose. Actually, it's a very, very popular piece in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Many, many players, many university groups plays it. And of course, it was a very, very important aim to premiere Levente Gyöngyösi's piece, a new concerto. We commissioned it.
Actually, sorry for interrupting. Yeah. Levente Gyöngyösi is also known in the United States, but mostly in choral circles. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a lot of chorus pieces, chorus music, and some of his pieces are actually very popular. As an orchestra composer, he's not that well known, so I'm really happy that we get to do this.
That will be in the second half. So tell me about what's coming up. We heard that the Jose piece, the other piece I was able to find on YouTube, which was mesmerizing, was a Steve Reich piece. Did he write that for you?
Yeah, it was a co-commission, and Steve dedicated the piece for the 25th anniversary of Amadinda and the lifelong cooperation with Nexus Percussion Group, the famous Canadian group. And in fact, we made the world premiere in 2009 in Budapest.
Listening to music of Steve Reich performed by the Amadinda Quartet. That's the mallet. What is it? The concerto for mallets. There's something about mallets in it.
Mallet Quartet.
Yeah, Mallet Quartet. And you can hear that live and again watch it live with the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra. The concert is called And the Beat Goes On. Very adventurous, I think, to have a percussion ensemble performing with an orchestra.
I guess so. It's not completely unusual, but I would say this is probably the first time for Huntsville.
As far as I know.
Oh, as far as I know, too. So, and you know I'm adventurous. Mm-hmm. But I only bring stuff here that is great. And this repertoire, you know, it's so varied and so interesting. I mean, there are some folk music pieces on the first half, right? Like traditional music.
We will finish the first part of the concert with two original traditional music.
Mm-hmm. From Bali.
First will be played on Amadinda.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a Ugandan xylophone-type instrument, floor xylophone. And we will do a beautiful Tahitian dance music.
Like the gamelan sound?
Oh, not gamelan at this time, because it's more 2,000 kilos.
Oh, yeah, those instruments are even heavier. Yeah. But as Zoltán always says, it's really the school of learning, you know, the language of percussion instrument is this type of folk music. The folk music from all over the world that is being played on different pieces of woods or different percussion instruments.
Yeah, I honestly feel that the traditional music from Western Africa or the gamelan music or many, many different music is just the mother tongue of percussion.
Were you always a percussionist? Did you drive your mom crazy when you were a little kid banging on things?
You know, when I start to play on piano when I was six, just start to play on percussion when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, percussions never exercise at home.
Oh, really?
Never practice at home.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm curious, there's four members of the group, and I'm guessing this is in no way like a string quartet, where one assigned instrument, there's one assigned part. How do you decide who plays what and when?
You know, everyone has some special interest. For me, the mallet instruments, wipes, marimbas, are very close to my soul, my musicianship. But yeah, it's a very interesting question how to lay out the parts. And if we are speaking about a string quartet, you know, the first violinist plays always first violin, mm-hmm. second violinist always second violin, and so on. But in case of a percussion group, there is no any regulation.
So who do you fight over who's going to play the log this time, or you get the spoons? How do you decide?
You know, every piece has a different instrumentation. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's always different a little bit.
I think that's fascinating. Just imagine if I could do the same with conducting. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe switch. What? Whom would I switch with? But that's. I think that's great because then you know, it keeps your interest, right?
I mean,
and for a percussion player, I think the biggest challenge or the most difficult thing to do anyway is to play so many different instruments. You know, sometimes we look at orchestra percussionists and we see the guy playing three triangle notes throughout the whole evening. And then you go like, and what is he doing, really? I mean, you don't need to practice that, right?
I got so tickled at the New York Philharmonic. I was just transfixed by the triangle player there in the back. Ding! And I was wondering, you know, did his mom take him to his triangle lessons and go to his triangle recitals? And I was just wondering what was going on with the triangle guy. But there's more to it than that.
Well, way more to it. And of course, if mom goes to the recital, he would see the little guy play the triangle and 36 other instruments.
Right.
And you have to be equally good at mallet instruments, mm-hmm. and timpani is a whole other art of playing. So it's fascinating to me that you say, okay, I'm a percussionist, and that actually means that you play 100 different instruments.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it's never boring.
Yeah, we can say.
Another piece on the program is a piece by Carlos Chavez. He was actually friends with the father of the former conductor of the Huntsville Symphony, Carlos Miguel Prieto, knew him very well. He was a friend of the family.
Really?
Yes. Yes, he said he used to call him at home and he'd pick up the phone and he'd go, Chavez. He was very stern and very strict. But it's fun to listen to this toccata for percussion instruments. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on here with this toccata by Carlos Chavez?
This is one of the earlier example piece composed for percussion instruments. And I have a very nice story about it, because in 92, I spent a week with John Cage in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we recorded all John Cage percussion music in the last 20 years. And at that time, in 92, I visited him. And I had, of course, 2,000 questions about the pieces, about that age. And when I start to investigate this huge oeuvre, I discovered that Cage never composed a role for any drum. And I asked him during that week that, John, what is the reason that you never composed a role for drum? And he said, because we were not able to play a role. and he told me that Carlos Chavez composed his toccata, mm-hmm. for John Cage's ensemble. So they were never able to play because the first bar is a long roll.
And it sounds like this.
Thank you.
to music of Carlos Chavez. It's all Amadinda in the first part of the symphony concert beginning this Friday evening at 7:30. And a little bit of something for everyone, something from all around the world. We've got the Mexican music, the traditional Balinese music, and and there's even some jazzy stuff too, the Red Norvo.
I mean, that's another thing about percussion ensembles is that if you can arrange the music for yourself, you can play pretty much anything, jazz or
Fritz Kreisler is in there.
Or Bach. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was my idea to have another concerto piece on the program and to do one of the two keyboard concertos by Johann Sebastian Bach.
But there won't be harpsichords. It won't sound like this one.
No.
So the Bach concerto that we'll hear on Friday evening will not sound completely like this.
No, it will not sound like this because we're going to be playing it on two vibraphones and two marimbas and orchestra. So just try to imagine the two keyboard parts, right hand and left hand. Mm-hmm. So you have a percussion player for the right hand and another one for the left hand. And so since you have two keyboards, you have four people. And we just turned this into a quartet concerto for four
percussionists. Is this original to you and to the Amadinda?
Original as in what? Like turning stuff into other stuff? Yeah, I guess.
This particular piece.
No, this is new. This is the first time you play this, right?
With the orchestra, definitely,
yes.
Because it was Gregory's original idea. So he recommended to learn and play a Bach concerto here. And I was very glad because, you know, I'm a classical musician, honestly. Mm-hmm. I start to play piano and I can't live without classical music, even if I play much more contemporary. And so I was very glad, and we learned the piece during June, July, and we played two or three times in Hungary, of course, without orchestra.
And the orchestra will be joining the Amadinda Percussion Group for this last Sinfonia Concertante. What an exciting piece this is.
Indeed, and you're going to have another really exciting and fun-looking, you know, setup on stage. It's really every... how many instruments? One person plays in the Gyöngyösi?
Actually, this Gyöngyösi is a very smart composer because he uses not so many percussion instruments. So everyone has four or five different. Everyone has a mallet instrument. I play a marimba. The others play a vibraphone, glockenspiel, and xylophone. And plus, he added some simple percussion instruments like gongs and woodblocks and a few drums. But it's a very, very, very smart composition.
And I actually was able to find it on YouTube. Thank you, YouTube, with the Amadinda Percussion Group.
Thank you.
This is the piece that will conclude Friday's concert, and the beat goes on with the exciting Amadinda Percussion Group. Gregory Voida conducting the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra. So why this piece of all things?
Well, first of all, because this was written for Amadinda, and because there are not so many pieces for percussion and orchestra that are long enough. And this particular piece is very interesting, mixing up styles. You know, you heard one style for the slow introduction and or the little bit different music for the fast part. The second movement is a beautiful slow movement that is using a Hungarian folk song, and it was written in the memory of a Hungarian mountain climber who died just last year. The last movement is a little bebop-y movement. So you have all kinds of things in there, and it's a very entertaining piece of music with great sound and utilizing, you know, limited number of percussion instruments per player, but it's just a great collection of sounds, and it's just a great piece to finish a concert.
We're so grateful that you were able to bring the Amadinda Percussion Group to Huntsville. Thank you so much, Mr. Ratz, for your time. Welcome to Huntsville. I wish we had better weather for you.
Thank you very much.
I'll do what I can. But that's not all. This concert, And the Beat Goes On, is Friday evening at 7:30, but Gregory Voida has yet more on his plate, literally, coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, since I'm only conducting half of the Friday concert.
They're going to make you do two concerts.
Well, I decided that I have time to practice the clarinet. So
This
is the time of the year when I pick up the clarinet, and then I just go, oh, I wish I didn't program this because I have to practice. But this is going to be our casual classic series, and we call it Dinner Divertimento since last year. And what happens this year is we are, of course, serving dinner and wine and whatever goes with it, and we're going to serve music with every course of the dinner.
Well, because that's what people used to do. We didn't always have boomboxes and iPods and everything. They actually had to bring in live musicians to play.
Absolutely. And this is what casual classics is about, to me anyway, in this season, for sure, is to show different formats of concerts and how it can be done differently from your usual go to the VBC and have 20 minutes intermission in between and have a overture, concerto, and the symphony. So I decided that we should have mostly woodwind music, you know, serenades. The first number we play is an early Richard Strauss composition called Serenade for 13 Players. It's a very short little piece, so it would go well with the salad, I guess. I don't actually know what the food is, but I'm interested to what we have to go with the music. The main dish is Dvorak Serenade for winds, cello and bass. And the last piece that is for dessert is a very light-hearted and very entertaining short piece for 10 wind players by Jean Francais, who was a French 20th century French composer and who wrote very light and entertaining divertimento music.
And that's coming up Sunday afternoon at 5:30 at the Grand Hall of Early Works Museum. More information about Dinner Divertimento, which is on Sunday, or And the Beat Goes On, which is this Friday. You can find it at hso.org or by calling 256-539-4818.